Paul Nolte joins us now on the Wintrust Business Lunch, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist at Murphy and Silvest. MurphySilvest.com is the website. Listen to this. The rumble of thunder was still off in the distance as July came to a close, but the winds quickly changed as we came into August. Paul, you wrote that. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, that was not AI, so thank you.
I don't know what you're talking about there, but whatever that was beautiful.
What I'm talking about is generally the markets take a pause in August and September. We all have heard about October being a terrible month. That's when we see crashes in the markets. But really, on a historical basis, August and September tend to be rough territory for the market. So we've had a very good run so far. It wouldn't be a surprise to us to see the markets take a step back, maybe pause here a little bit, decline maybe 5, even 10%. And then we might see a year-end rally. But it may be enough to shake up a few people that are expecting pretty much the straight line appreciation that we've seen so far this year.
Tom Fortino from the Alpha Wealth Group was in our studio yesterday, and he said he thinks some of these markets are a little overvalued, or some of the stocks in them. Do you have a general read about the valuations like that?
Yeah, it's something that we follow pretty closely. And the larger the stock, the more overvalued it is. And the closer you are to technology, the more overvalued it is. So if we take a look at the big seven that have had such a big run so far this year, many of those stocks are selling at valuation levels that they haven't seen really since near 2000, the last time we had the dot-com crash. I'm not saying that that's going to happen again, but the valuations for some of those stocks are very similar. The smaller you go, or if you go overseas, those stocks tend to be very inexpensive. So small cap U.S., international, and emerging markets look very interesting to us. You can get companies that do something similar. They just happen to be domiciled over there, but their valuations are very much cheaper than the same company here in the U.S.
How real is the broadening of the spectrum of stocks that are propelling the market? We've heard that it's a little broader base than it had been, than those seven say, but is that a real trend, or is it still maybe too small of a sample size to say?
No, it is. The market has broadened out, and we've seen a little bit better advanced decline action, at least since the beginning of June. And it's dissipating here a little bit as the markets pull back during August. So it's not a surprise to see that broadening out. And part of that is smaller stocks doing better and other stocks doing better than those seven stocks that have led the market for the first half of the year. So we are starting to see that. It is encouraging to see others participate. So it's something that we're keeping an eye on here as well.
You suggest that people adjust their portfolios to either focus on international stocks or small caps?
Well, I think really what you want to do is if you have a well-diversified portfolio, you're going to be overweighted in large cap growth or technology. And it's not a bad idea to occasionally go back and take a look and say, okay, we've had a great run. They've gone up 30%, some cases 40%. Take some of that money off the table and redistribute it to those other areas that may not have done so well. So that rebalancing makes sense and probably is prudent to do here, especially if you've been invested in those areas.
Wages and inflation. Who's winning right now?
The worker. And the worker really, with the exception of the last year and a half, has been winning since 2013. Because inflation has been so low, and even though wage growth up until the pandemic was only 3%, inflation was only 1%. So when you look at it from a very broad basis, wage growth has been outpacing inflation for much of the past decade, again, with the exception of the most recent inflationary period, and we're back to today. Wages growing faster than inflation, with inflation coming down now to roughly 3.5%. Wage growth is about 4.5%, almost 5%.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I didn't know the 10-year perspective, but we all know that we hear but nothing about We continually hear about inflation and how it's hard on people. But if wages are ahead of inflation, then it seems to me like that would be the other part of the equation that we should talk a little bit about.
It is. And I think if you go down that road, though, you start talking about, well, where is the inflation and how does that impact me?
Right.
And certainly for those that are 60, 70 years old, inflation in medicine is a lot more important than those that are in their 40s and 50s where they're looking at college tuition. So again, we're talking in very, very broad terms, but it is very dependent upon where you're at in life.
Yeah, right. And I think it's also interesting if you strip out gas or automobiles or groceries or include them. I mean, there are certain sort of versions of inflationary indexes, and some of them are more relevant to people than others.
And then it's true. And one of the things that we point out to people is if you think about how long does it take for a chicken to go from egg to your table, it goes pretty quick. And so that's why we've seen egg prices come down from Easter at $4 a dozen down to about $1 a dozen. Pork is a little bit longer, and beef is years. And so you're going to see beef prices stay relatively high until they're able to rebuild the herds that they really took down dramatically during the pandemic. It's going to take, you know, a good another 4 to 6 years to rebuild the cattle herds to where beef prices start coming back down again.
So many things, of course, hinge on the Fed's decision to raise interest rates another quarter point or not. What's your read on that, and what do you think the impact will be?
Yeah, it's interesting. So if we scroll back a year and a half and say, okay, the Fed's going to raise rates 5 percentage points within a year, what do you think is going to happen? You're like, oh my gosh, the market's just going to fall apart. It would be down 20-30%. We are down less than 2% from all-time highs. So the markets have been able to withstand higher interest rates. Whether the raising rates is going to have an impact on inflation, it depends on where it's at. And right now we're seeing inflation more on the service side than we are on the manufacturing side. So think about restaurants, travel, et cetera. And a lot of those are not necessarily as sensitive to inflation. Where that is being felt the most is in jobs. If I feel like my job's secure, I'm doing well, I'm getting my wage increase, I'm going to go out to the restaurant, I'm going to go on vacation. If I feel it's in jeopardy, I may not do those things. Different than the manufacturing side, which is a lot more dependent on interest rates as they finance inventory and new plant equipment.
Sure, sure. Well, that is reminiscent of what Tom was talking about yesterday. When I hear about the Fed and interest rates, I think, how's that going to impact me? I've got a credit card and I've got a home loan. And I think a lot of us just internalize it that way. But if you were a business owner and you needed to borrow money for payroll or expansion, you really are anxious about these interest rates. And
no, that's true. And then the other part of it, too, in your house with a lot of people that have refinanced or have a mortgage that may be 2 years old.
Yep.
They've got a very good rate, and they're not looking to move. So higher interest rates really doesn't have an impact on them.
You want to see them freeze it, maybe start to work the other way? What's your forecast for interest rates?
I think interest rates are going to stay higher for longer. I think we're going to see interest rates stay up in the 5-5.5% range at least for the next year. And then if we start to see unemployment start to tick up, I think that will get the Fed's attention. And at that point, we will start to see maybe interest rates come down.
Well, it's another example of how we need something bad for things to be good. Any last observation from you today, Paul?
Well, keep an eye on those interest rates because, again, the bond auction didn't go very well this week. Treasuries will be the Treasury will be issuing an awful lot of new debt, and that's going to have an impact on interest rates different than what the Fed is doing.
He wrote, "The rumble of thunder was still off in the distance as July came to a close, but the winds quickly changed as we came into August." That's Paul Nolte. He's the senior wealth advisor and market strategist at Murphy and Silvest. Paul, let's talk again soon. It's always a pleasure.
I'll do that. Thank you, sir.
I'm the John Williams. We appreciate you dialing in. Nick Wolny is dialed in from CNET, where he is a senior editor there. It's nice of you to join us, Nick. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
You know, yesterday we had somebody on from Google. We were talking about the trends in back-to-school shopping. One of the top searches on Google is where to find clear backpacks. that's a thing. And also, is this class hard? You know, physics, statistics, biology. People wanted to know what they were getting into. But you guys are writing a little bit at CNET Money about the cost of going back to school. And 43% plan on, you say, alleviating the cost by taking on some form of financing. We're using credit cards to go back to school, huh?
Yeah, that's right. In addition to that, you know, some of those people are going to use an existing credit card, but we also found that 12% of people are going to open a new credit card just for their back-to-school shopping. We also had some respondents say that they're going to lean on tools like Buy Now, Pay Later on your phone or on your computer, or even tapping into an account that's not earmarked for educational costs, such as a savings account or even a retirement account. The average back-to-school cost per household this year, it's floating right around $900, which is a record. So it's something that a lot of consumers are feeling in their wallets this August, for sure.
And that's not a small amount of money, but I guess in an age when we know that most people don't have $400 for an emergency new appliance, they probably don't have $900. I don't know what most people means. A lot of people going back to school for the kids is not cash in their checking account they have readily available. That's tough. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I think it's also been exacerbated by just the last 18 months regarding inflation. The cost of supplies is up because the cost of just about everything is up. And so one reason that we're trying to make people aware of being cautious regarding financing is that, you know, whenever the Federal Reserve raises rates, whenever they raise those federal rates, usually the rates on consumer products, like credit cards, those go up too. And so we see that in the numbers. The average APR on a credit card right now, it's over 22%. That's the highest it's ever been. That's also a record. Not the kind of records we want to break. So just making people aware that if you are going to finance or back to school, as many families probably will need to in some way, try to make a plan to pay that balance down quickly, because the interest is more expensive than it was even a year ago. And also, I think back to school is a really unique time. It's right before the holiday season, which for almost everyone is the most expensive time of the year. And so, you know, if you can pay down any balances that you take on before we get to October, November, then you're going to position yourself much better for the holiday season.
Yeah. They aren't interest-free holidays, but don't some states have tax-free holidays where for maybe a week before school you can buy things and not pay the state or local sales tax?
Yeah, and Illinois had a temporary one last year. It hasn't been renewed for this year. But in some states, you know, if you see language around that, a tax-free holiday is simply when the state Department of Revenue for that particular state, they pause on collecting taxes, sales taxes, for certain products that are going to be related to some sort of initiative. Back to school is definitely the most popular, but you might see some other tax-free holidays start to crop up throughout the year. We're seeing more tax-free holidays for things like disaster preparedness. You know, states like Florida and Texas have started additional tax-free holidays so that people can buy generators, so that people can buy flashlights and the items that they need and not have to be burdened with sales tax on that. I will say, if you don't have a sales tax holiday in your state for back to school, something else that we see in the data is that more and more people are shopping online for their back to school shopping. And so if that's you, whether for back to school or during other times of the year, you might want to look into one of these free browser extensions, a shopping extension. CNET has one. It's called CNET Shopping. There are many others. Basically, how these work is you can install this free extension on your browser. And then when you're shopping around online, maybe you're scoping out one of these clear backpacks, right? You're looking at it on Amazon.com. If that same backpack's $5 or $10 cheaper on another big box retailer like a Walmart or a Best Buy or whatever, you're going to get a notification right then and there that same product is available for less money somewhere else. And so it's just been really, really good. It's just, you know, it uses the barcodes and the UPC codes and all of that in order to track it. But it's been really nice for consumers who are just trying to save a few bucks here and there, especially with back to school and holiday being about usually buying a bunch of different things, a bunch of different products. It can really start to add up, and that's something that you can install and start using today for free.
I guess everybody knew about that. I didn't. I'm familiar with how online searches generate ads for various products, but if I'm searching for something, it will also, this tool, say on your site, mine the internet for all of the people that are selling that and give me the best prices. Do I hear you right?
Yep. And I think that's also just what has come up in terms of, you know, kind of the digital version of couponing, right? I remember I grew up downstate. I grew up near Peoria, and my mom would sit on Saturday mornings and cut the coupons out of the newspaper, right, or out of the magazines, and then we'd go to the grocery store. And so this is just kind of the digitized version of that, you know, and with different retailers just based on things like their inventory and how much they're trying to move stuff out the door. You know, those prices will tend to be a little variable. They might go up by a few bucks, down by a few bucks. So it's nice that we can kind of leverage some of these free tools that'll just surf the internet in the background. And when you're looking at a particular product, when you're scoping it out, then you can just apply that and see if you can get that same price somewhere else. I think something else that's come up a lot with consumers as well, particularly with back to school, is that people are buying more electronics. You know what I mean? You need more electronics for school than you used to. And so if that's you, what many families are starting to do is they're buying refurbished electronics. Maybe you've got a kid that's going to college or they're going back to campus this year. Getting them a refurbished laptop or a refurbished computer, that can be a great way to save some money. You want to make sure it's certified refurbished. That means it's been tested, and that's a little different than an open box discount. But if you get something that's certified refurbished, has a warranty behind it, mm-hmm. I think that's always a good sign that a business is willing to put their money where their mouth is, and they say that it's going to last for a long time. That can be a great way to help bring down that, you know, $900 per household quote that a lot of families are dealing with this fall.
What do you make of this strategy? Open a new 0% interest credit card to make those purchases.
Well, the credit card isn't necessarily the problem. You know, it's our procrastination that gets us in trouble, right? And so I think if you're looking at a 0% APR card, as long as you create a plan to pay that down and actually get that benefit, right? Usually it's going to be like a limited term.
Yep.
I think the same thing applies to balance transfer cards. You know, balance transfers aren't quite as long as they used to be, especially as we're kind of in this, you know, again, the Federal Reserve hiking rates and credit card companies not being able to offer quite as robust of benefits as they used to as a result. If you find a 24-month 0% balance transfer, please call me back and let me know. But for anything like that, you know, to move over to their services, as long as you have a plan on how to pay it down, you know, just do the math, do the arithmetic, get your calculator out. Okay, it's going to be 6 payments of this much to get it all paid down.
Yeah, right.
That's totally fine. I think that's financing. That's healthy. You know, debt can be healthy if you're using it smartly. But I think why it gets a lot of us in trouble, and what we see in the data with credit card delinquency on the rise as well, the highest in 11 years, is that people are putting stuff on credit cards because they don't have a plan for how they're going to pay it off, or they don't have the money.
And you just mentioned that the average rate is now higher than it's ever been, just north, the average rate, mind you, north of 22%. That's Nick Walney, the CNET Money senior editor. Whereabouts in central Illinois are you from? You said near Peoria. Where's home for you? Where's your family?
Oh, well, I live in Los Angeles now, but I grew up in Galesburg, and I went to University of Illinois. So it's always a pleasure to fly into Chicago and get my dose of orange and blue. It's all the UC schools out here. So, you know, when I need to bleed orange and blue, Quick Trick Home always does the trick. So, yeah.
He's a streak and a lion eye, and now he is at CNET Money, senior editor there. Nice to talk to you, Nick. Thanks for your help today.
Thanks for having me.
This is WGN and the Wintrust Business Lunch. More business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago's the number one startup ecosystem in the Midwest. That's according to Chicago venture capital firm M25 in its annual list of the top startup cities. Even though the past year has been difficult nationally for startups because of layoffs and tight funding, the Midwest has shown resilience. In Chicago, there have been a half dozen $100 million plus funding rounds and many more eight-figure funding rounds. The ranking says that resilience has left Chicago in good shape. Lollapalooza was good for the hotel business in Chicago. Stats show Chicago hotels had 18% higher occupancy than last year, with more than 131,000 rooms booked for last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. The city's tourism arm, Choose Chicago, says that's a new record for Lolla weekend. Hotel revenue was up 27% from a year ago. Occupancy ranged from 93% to 97% over the three nights. The music festival was bigger this year after its attendance limit was raised. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Time for the business of food with Steve Alexander.
It's a Mr. Fizz Friday with a Simon and Garfunkel theme, and we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Hadn't planned on it, but maybe the state fair, which opened yesterday. Today is Ag Day at the fair. But back to Simon, Garfunkel, and Jim.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
It's time to harvest those and other herbs in your garden.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about things that we start picking out of the garden and things we can do with them to preserve them so some of that wonderful garden is available for the winter. Fresh herbs are best. The homegrown dried ones are next best. You want to harvest these herbs just as the flowers begin to open, when the leaves have the most flavor, or when the season's beginning to wind down, which it seems to be doing right now. We have more dew in the evening, in the morning. So you want to cut these annual herbs to the ground. Cut the perennial herbs about a third of the way down, because it will continue to regrow, and they'll grow again next year. Be sure you use only clean, disease-free, insect-free plants. Preparing for drying, you need to rinse them with cold water, drain them on paper towels so they're fairly well drained on the surface. You want to use the stemmy seed kinds like anise, caraway, fennel, dill, and so forth by tying them loosely in bunches. Hang these bunches upside down in brown paper bags. After they're dry, you need to shake the seeds into the bags and store these in glass jars. For the fleshy leaf kinds like rosemary, sage, thyme, summer parsley, lemon balm, lemon thyme is one I really like. Spread them on a screen in a warm, dry place. We leave them in the basement. We put the stems and so forth on them. Or sometimes when it's too humid and the basement isn't dry enough, we'll put them out in the garage, but then you have to leave the cars out until these things are dry. Once they're dry, you strip the leaves from the stems and store these in the glass jars, just as you would have with the seeds. Some people have found that maybe it's best to store them whole and crush the leaves just before you use them. You need to check and see what works the best for you. Good thing to do at this time of year.
Mr. Fizz, gardening guru Jim Fizzell. From the farm to your belly, it's National Raspberry Balm Day. It's spelled B-O-M-B-E, but Ina Garten says bomb, so that's what I'm going with. I'm Steve Alexander, and that's the business of food on 720 WGN.
I see that Saturday they're having a car show at Delray's Chicken Basket in Willowbrook from 11 to 3. I want to know a little bit more about that. It says here the return of their car shows, which makes me think they had to put them on the side for a little while. Visiting with us now, Delray Chicken Basket server Dee Woywood. Dee, it's John Williams. How are you today?
I am real good, John. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It says here you've been working there do I read this correctly, 26 years?
It's actually 27 years.
right? I have not been there. Tell me about Delray's for a minute, the Chicken Basket restaurant.
I cannot believe, you know, we are a Chicagoland staple. We're an Illinois staple, and we are a Route 66 staple. We have been an existing restaurant as early as 1946, but you can take our chicken basket recipe on the property as early as 1928, when we were a gas station, a service station, a bus stop, and a chicken counter. I mean, it's been a good long time. I cannot believe that you have not been by it.
I know. I was talking to some friends the other day about the bucket list of Chicagoland, like what are the things you need to do, or what is conspicuously absent from your travels in Chicago, and I'll have to get this box checked. So just before we talk about the car show, real quick, tell me about the menu there. What do folks get at Delray's?
Well, ultimately, the fried chicken. We have been doing it for a really long time. We haven't changed it even for a second or a bit since 1928.
Wow.
The ladies who started it on their farm and brought it to Route 66 knew exactly what they were doing, and being the smart people that we are and that the past owners have been, they knew not to mess around with it. It's quality chicken. It's on the bone chicken. We take at least 24 hours to salt brine that chicken to make sure that all the juice stays in it.
Oh, yeah.
It's lightly breaded with a really fine Italian breadcrumb. A real sandy breadcrumb, so it has a very unique breading. It never gets crazy, crazy crispy, but it does get a nice crunch to it. The because of the brining process, the breading adheres to the skin, and it holds every single bit of natural chicken juice in it. So you will not get a dry piece of chicken, whether you get a breast, a leg, a thigh, or a wing. You're always going to get the exact same quality in every single piece.
We're talking to Dee Woywood. She's been serving chicken at Del Rey's in Willowbrook for 27 years. So the car show is back. It's going to be this Saturday, 11 to 3. I see you've got a food special for $7, a quarter pound hot dog, chips. Elvis is going to be there. That's a nice touch.
Well, Elvis is going to be at our September car show.
Oh, pardon me. Pardon me. Well,
surprising to hear that he's going to be here at all, but he is going to be in September.
Anytime Elvis can make it is a good time. Give me a couple of highlights of the show on the 12th, though, Saturday.
So it's going to be, like you said, 11 to 3. Everyone is welcome. There is no pre-registration. So if you have a car or you have a car you want to show up, you should just bring it down here. Hopefully the weather is in our favor. I kind of hear that it is. So it'll be a really great day for a car show. We have plenty of spots. If you don't have a car, you should just come down, check everything out, and have a really great lunch with us.
Yeah, I'm looking at the weather.
I'll be here.
Are you going to be there?
I will be here all day on Saturday.
I'm not surprised to hear that. Okay, so no registration is needed. Bring your fancy car and bring your appetite.
Sure can.
To Del Rey's.
We'd love to have you all.
645 Joliet Road in Willowbrook. I'll introduce myself when I get there.
Please do. And if anyone needs any information, they can go to our Facebook page or they can go to chickenbasket.com. All the information's there. And they can always call us at 630-325-0780. We love talking to our customers, so please feel free to call us.
Chickenbasket.com. By the way, I just got this text. John, you absolutely have to go to Del Rey's. It's classic. Come on.
Oh, that's a smart person there. Yeah, absolutely. You really have to try it.
Dee, thanks for your time. Have a great day tomorrow.
Hey, thanks for having us, John. I look forward to meeting you.